This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Europe may put Greece's bailout money on ice as Athens fails to meet its end of the deal. From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson with this Memorial Day edition of the Marketplace Midday Update. It is Monday, May 30th. Coming up, Greece might not get its next round of bailout cash. Also, Subway launches a new ingredient this week. And it might be a holiday here in the U.S., but that's not stopping the cheese from rolling down the hill in the U.K. Those stories and more are just ahead on the Marketplace Midday Update.
Every day, be sure to wake up to the Marketplace Morning Report. It's 8 minutes of radio you can't afford to miss. You'll hear updates on all the latest developments in business and finance as they happen.
Today, European leaders are trying to figure out what's next for Greece. The country has missed the fiscal targets associated with its financial bailout, and now there are reports its next round of emergency funding could be denied. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
The European Union and the International Monetary Fund are due to hand over the latest slice of bailout cash to Greece, some $17 billion. But first they must decide whether the government in Athens has done enough to cut its deficit. Der Spiegel, the German magazine, says it hasn't, and that Greece has fallen so far short it may be denied the bailout cash. Martina Stevis is a Greek commentator. She says her country may get the money, but it will not be let off the hook.
There will be extreme pressure on Greece to deliver faster.
But she says that more austerity now will meet strong public opposition in Greece.
I feel that there is not much appetite for any other sacrifices on a personal and collective level.
Many analysts believe that the only way out for Greece is for the government to restructure its debt, for example, to negotiate later repayment. But a senior member of the European Central Bank has just scoffed at that proposal. He said the financial markets would go crazy. The Greek banking system would collapse. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Now for some analysis, we turn to Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. She's with us from New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Julia, is there really a chance that Greece won't get the rest of its bailout cash?
Well, what's true is that they clearly haven't met all of the requirements, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of political will inside of Greece to take the steps needed. So policymakers are really faced with a tricky situation. If they play it tough and withhold the next round of payments, then worries will grow that the whole solution is not really feasible.
That the idea that a country that's in dire straits could cut its budget very quickly, maybe that just can't be done.
That's right. And it's not just Greece that's facing this situation. It's Portugal, it's Ireland, and even the U.S. Can we actually cut government budgets back to where revenues are able to sustain them? Pain has to be felt. And voters don't tend to like to vote politicians in that bring pain. So it's a tough situation.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas. Thanks and always, and have a nice holiday.
You do the same. Thanks.
Well, let's get to Brazil now, where there's some old school politicking going on. The French finance minister, Christine Lagarde, is there putting on the charm, trying to win support for her bid to head the IMF. She's running to replace Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who resigned after being charged with sexual assault. And Christine Lagarde's biggest flaw appears to be that she's not from the developing world. The BBC's Ashley Neame has more now from Singapore.
France's elegant no-nonsense and straight-talking finance minister already has the backing of European leaders, but she'll struggle to secure the IMF's top job without the support of some of the world's rising economic players. That's why she's on a crucial tour of Brazil, China and India. Charles Adams is professor at the Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy in Singapore. He says emerging economies want to stop the practice of guaranteeing that the IMF chair goes to a European.
She has to try and convince these countries that this is not business as usual. And these countries have indicated that they would like to move away from having this as a reserve position. At the same time, I think she has to address some of the concerns being expressed.
The Indian Prime Minister Manmohan Singh has already said he wants a better balanced world order when it comes to the top jobs at global institutions like the IMF, World Bank and the UN Security Council. But despite the concerns, Asia has yet to nominate its own candidate, and they've got less than 2 weeks to come up with a name. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Ashley Neame for Marketplace.
Well, here in this country, Wednesday is the official start of hurricane season, and the state of Virginia is offering a financial incentive for residents who prepare for natural disasters. Virginia is giving people a tax break on certain essential goods. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
Virginia consumers have until midnight Tuesday to buy flashlights, generators, blue ice, carbon monoxide detectors, and storm shutters without paying the normal 5% sales tax. But that deal doesn't apply to plywood.
That didn't make the cut because every contractor in the state's going to be going out there and saving money and stocking up on plywood.
Joel Davison is spokesman for the Virginia Department of Taxation. It drew the line in terms of what qualified as hurricane preparation.
Others have said, well, if a big storm's coming, I need alcohol. So alcohol should be covered. But it's not.
The tax spokesman says the state will lose revenue, but
consumers will save a little over $2.5 million during this week-long holiday.
Many states have sales tax holidays. Mark Robin is an economist with the Tax Foundation.
I think the research shows that there's no real economic benefit. It just seems kind of like a gimmick.
But Robin says tax holidays are popular with consumers, hence popular with politicians. Virginians will get another sales tax moratorium in late summer for back-to-school shopping. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
To the box office now, where The Hangover 2 kicked off the summer movie season with $118 million in domestic ticket sales so far. You can add another $59 million in overseas sales. And there were probably some people who didn't pay anything because they watched a pirated version of the movie. Well, there's a bill in the Senate that would give the government more tools to stop that kind of thing, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins explains.
The first Hangover brought in nearly half a billion dollars with lines like this.
Hey, guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
No, like, who let the dogs out? Who?
The Hangover was also among the top 10 most illegally downloaded movies. International piracy costs the entertainment industry $20 billion a year. Now, a Senate bill would let U.S. courts force U.S. internet companies to shut off access to foreign websites much faster.
We're talking matter of hours, matter of days.
Michael O'Leary of the Motion Picture Association says that's critical.
It's not uncommon at all to have hundreds of downloads within just hours.
But law professor Jack Lerner says some websites could be shut down unfairly.
There is a big question about false positives, and we've already seen that with domain name seizures of domestic sites.
Oregon Senator Ron Wyden has signaled he may filibuster the bill. The House is looking at similar legislation. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Well, there's a new ingredient coming to sandwich makers nationwide, avocado. Subway will be offering avocado spread as a topping. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith tells us why.
Not only do avocados go with Subway's fresh and nutritious marketing campaign, they also add a dash of gourmet to the sandwich chain, says Darren Tristano with Technomic.
It's likely a test to see whether a more gourmet ingredient can play with their price point.
Play it up, that is. The avocado spread will be included on some pricier $8 subs, or you can shell out a buck to add it to other sandwiches. Food industry consultant Gary Steibel says the $5 foot-long deal established Subway as a slightly pricier and healthier alternative to fast food, and the avocado option will keep pushing Subway in the fancy fast food direction.
We're coming out of a recession, so it's perfect timing for them to start laddering up from $5 to $6 to $7, and who knows?
Steibel says the new ingredient may also attract Hispanics, a fast-growing market that consumes a lot of avocados. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
When the NBA finals start tomorrow, fans will either be rooting for the Dallas Mavericks or the Miami Heat. Well, except for one company, American Airlines, that won't mind who wins either way. That's because it owns the naming rights for both teams' arenas. There's the American Airlines Center in Dallas and the American Airlines Arena in Miami. Analysts say each game in the series is worth about $9 million in brand exposure for American Airlines, which, by the way, lost $12 billion in the last decade.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Hundreds of people are gathered this morning in Gloucestershire, England, for the annual Cheese Rolling Festival, where they hurl a wheel of cheese down a nearly vertical slope and contestants chase after it. The official event this year was canceled for budget reasons, but as Christopher Worth reports, some diehards are keeping the custom alive.
I made my way to Cooper's Hill, which has been used for cheese rolling contests here for centuries. And as you can hear, getting to the top isn't easy.
It is a steep climb.
And a 600-foot drop to the bottom.
I don't know how you'd ever run down this.
But when I meet Richard Jeffries, a longtime organizer of the event, he recites the call that's prompted countless numbers to hurl themselves over the side.
One to be ready, two to be steady, three for the cheese, and four, the runners go after it.
First one down gets to take home the cheese, a 7-pound wheel of double Gloucester, which tastes like a sharp cheddar. But I wouldn't call what competitors do to get there running. This video from a couple of years ago shows people literally toppling down the hill.
It's near impossible to stay on your feet.
Chris Anderson has won 6 times, and as he can attest, someone always leaves in an ambulance.
Knocked myself out in 2007, woke up on a stretcher.
But what started as a local rite of passage is straining under the weight of its growing popularity. In 2009, Richard Jeffries says 15,000 people flocked to Cooper's Hill, far more than ever before.
I can remember 60 years ago when maybe 300-400 people turned up.
With bigger crowds, local authorities impose strict rules. Jeffries and other volunteers were suddenly dealing with things like traffic management and security. Richard's wife, Jean, says the cost of the event quickly went from around $11,000 to over $300,000.
And the only way we were going to pay for all of it was going to have to be to charge people to come. And we really were never comfortable with that.
Organizers did try to introduce a $30 ticket fee this year, but they were met with fierce opposition.
Eventually, we said, we can't do this, and we walked away.
But Chris Anderson and a couple of renegade cheese rollers are planning an unofficial festival today.
I think it's definitely going to go ahead. Got to keep the tradition going, really.
The only cost should be the $60 per wheel of cheese. About 1,000 people are expected to show up. In Gloucestershire, England, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
And you can see that video of the cheese rolling that Chris talked about at marketplace.org. Well, if you're heading to a Memorial Day barbecue later today, get ready for the pickles, hot dogs, burgers, chips. Well, let's just say salt. Doctors tell us we should watch how much salt we eat, and now food companies are reacting with new products. PepsiCo, which makes Fritos and Lay's potato chips, has developed a new salt that it says tastes the same but isn't as bad for you. Marketplace's Sean Cole has the story.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
Greg Epp is PepsiCo's senior VP of research and development. We met up in a boardroom at the company's headquarters in Purchase, New York.
This is great. We have chips.
Bags of test chips from the lab, and I'm going to taste them. The first bag is just classic Lay's with a third of the salt removed. The second bag is the same, but it's dusted with a PepsiCo invention called crystal salt. It's a more soluble form of sodium chloride. Because Yep says with normal chips,
a lot of the salt is not actually tasted. It doesn't dissolve as efficiently on your tongue. When we design crystal salt, you actually taste more on your tongue, so you can use less, and it gives you a more salty flavor.
So the idea is the crystal salt chips should taste saltier, more like full salt classic Lay's. I started with the plain old Lay's reduced salt chip.
Okay. Tastes like a potato chip.
And then sampled a reduced salt chip with Crystal salt. And then I went back and forth.
I'm going to get fat.
I couldn't really tell the difference. Moreover, PepsiCo says sales of full salt classic Lay's are doing fine, so why go to all this trouble?
That's what the consumers are increasingly asking for. I want healthier products. I don't want to compromise on the taste.
Mehmood Khan is chief scientific officer at PepsiCo. He's also an endocrinologist. He used to work at the Mayo Clinic. He says the Crystal Salt Initiative is part of a larger goal.
It makes good business sense. It makes good consumer health and wellness sense.
We're talking about potato chips here. We're not talking about a health food.
Marion Nessel teaches nutrition and public health at NYU.
And the philosophical question that you have to ask about these products is a slightly better for you option, a good choice.
Professor Nessel told me, sure, a third less sodium in a bag of chips is positive. But she also says maintaining the same salt taste as regular Lay's defeats the purpose.
Because the purpose of reducing the amount of sodium, besides the health effect, is to try to get people's salt preferences lower.
Case in point, Nessel lowered her salt intake years ago. Everything tastes too salty to her. Conversely, my taste buds are apparently shot. I brought some classic Lay's with me to the lab and couldn't tell the difference between them and anything else I tasted. In New York, I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
And finally, to the UK, where the schools in one town are reprimanding not the students, but the parents. The headmasters say parents should stop wearing pajamas in public. This is apparently a big problem, not just when they drop off their kids at school, but apparently parents are donning PJs at parent-teacher conferences. And one teacher says it sets the wrong example for the kids. I'm guessing it's probably pretty embarrassing for them as well. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Thanks for listening. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.